We turn to the portion of scripture we read in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, and we shall read again verse 162. Psalm 119 and verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Amen. Here we have a psalm, by far the longest psalm, devoted to one subject. And that subject is, of course, the Word of God. It's referred to by different terms, statutes, judgments, laws, commandments, and so on. But it is all one. God's Word, true and faithful from beginning to end. And David loved it. He loved it at all times. There were times when he was less attentive to it and obedient to it than he should have been. But he loved God's word. And in a time of affliction, and that is evident in the portion we read, a time indeed of persecution, the word was that which gave him comfort. And so great was the comfort that he could say, I rejoice at thy word. Why did David rejoice in the word of God? Because it was a treasure to him. God's word was his great treasure. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. And the word of God should be that to us also. It is surely like that to all of the Lord's people. They would willingly, gladly part with many things in this world, but they would never part with their Bible. The Bible is a treasure. Well, let us consider briefly this subject of God's word, our treasure. And firstly, recognizing the treasure, knowing the word of God to be a great treasure. David speaks of the word, God's word, and the scriptures are the word of God written. And we refer to them as the very word of God. That word very means real, genuine. This is not false metal, this is gold. This is pure gold. It has been refined in a furnace of earth. And it is pure from all dross. Never had any dross. Came through man, but by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he gave to men God's word, and they spoke it, and it was written, and God has watched over it, he superintended it in his providence, so that we here today, at a prayer meeting, opening our Bible, are able to affirm, thy word is truth, here is treasure indeed. And are we not in awe at the word of God? You have that in verse 161. My heart standeth in awe of thy word. And he says that after he has said, princes have persecuted me without a cause. And if you were suffering that, well, you might have many reasons to complain against God. Why is it so with me? This is surely not how things are meant to be. That would really be unbelief. But David has the word of God. And in it he learns the experience of God's people. And that is, in this sinful world, to be opposed, to be persecuted, even by the powers that be, because they follow the Scriptures. They are hearers of the word and they are doers of the word. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. And there was, of course, another who was able to say the same and even more so. Our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, persecuted without any cause at all. The one, the only one who was truly, wholly innocent before God as well as before men. But even the Lord Jesus, the eternal Word, as the Son of God, he stood in awe of the Word. It was hidden in his heart. We are in awe of the Scriptures because of what they contain. Here we learn of the true and living God, his attributes, his works. We learn of his covenant drawn up in eternity, the covenant he has made with Christ and with his people in Christ. He is the Redeemer. He would come in the fullness of time. He would become man. And he would save his people, shedding his blood on their behalf. And we learn in the Scriptures of the gift of God, eternal life. The wages of sin is death. That is what we deserve. But no, God in his love appointed salvation for us. When we were far from him, when we were lost sheep, the Lord sought us out, and the Lord bestowed upon us this wonderful gift, eternal life. These precious things and more are found in the Holy Scriptures. Sometimes objects that are valuable, even very valuable, are not recognized as such. Someone might have an object in their own house, and it's there, and sometimes they look at it, and they perhaps have it because it's been passed down from previous generations, but they do not know the real worth of it. Maybe a painting, something of that kind. And then some expert happens to see the object, and with open eyes and wonder, that person who's been trained in these things says, "Do you know what this is? Do you know what you have here?" And they describe the artist, and they explain how this is perhaps something unique and certainly of great value. It takes a trained eye to appreciate the real worth of certain objects. And the spiritual lesson is this: we need the Holy Spirit. He is the one who teaches us the value of the Word of God. He gave it by inspiration. And he is the one who interprets it. And whenever we come to the Scriptures, maybe in our own devotions, family worship, public worship, we need to rely upon the Holy Spirit. You can have good books, and they can show you many things in the Scriptures. Preachers likewise. But the teacher, the one who will instruct us as we need to be instructed, is none other than the Holy Spirit. He enlightens our minds in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, a saving knowledge that is very important. We've often met people who are knowledgeable concerning the scriptures. They've read them and they know the content of the Bible very well. They can speak of the history of God's dealings with Israel. They can refer to the Gospels and the parables and the miracles. They can even speak of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done. And yet we find when we speak to them that there really is no appreciation in a way of understanding the need of Christ, the personal need of Christ. There is no repentance toward God and no hearty faith in this great Redeemer. Holy Spirit has not yet come with power to open their hearts, to instruct their minds, to set their captive wills free, that they might be among those who believe in Jesus Christ to the saving of their souls. Yet we need the Holy Spirit not just at the beginning to bring us to Christ. We need the Holy Spirit in our sojourn here, as we make our way to the heavenly city, strangers and pilgrims. We need light in our darkness. You see, we are darkness by nature, and the Holy Spirit is the one who will give us light, the saving light of the Word of God. Now we recognize the treasure, do we not? We all know that the Bible is the most precious book anyone could have. The lively oracles, the royal law, the gracious gospel, the everlasting salvation. It is all there in this book, and David knew it. Secondly, to consider finding the treasure. The Bible itself is a treasure, a great treasure, but there must be a finding of the treasure, and of course we are referring to Christ and his salvation. That is the sum and substance of the Bible. That is the very center of things. It's all leading up to Christ, or recording the Christ who came and suffered and bled and died on the cross and rose again triumphant for his people. The Bible must be more than a book we have in our possession, more than a book that we believe to be the Word of God. You have to make effort with the Bible. You know that. You need the Holy Spirit. How will the Holy Spirit come to your aid? You pray. You must pray over the Bible. You must pray at worship that the Lord will give you life, that the Holy Spirit will unlock the secrets of the Word. Some things hard to be understood, and even those things we do understand, there are always new depths to be plumbed. We never reach the bottom of the Scriptures, as it were. A great deep an ocean fullness of divine truth, and from it we learn of God, the inexhaustible God, of Christ, the unchangeable Christ, and of salvation, everlasting salvation. You have to come with desire. You have to come with hunger and thirst. What are you looking for? What are we looking for every time we come to the Word of God? We're looking for the Lord. He is our treasure. He is our joy. Effort, if we are to profit from the Scriptures. One of Christ's parables concerning the kingdom of heaven had to do with treasure hid in a field. And in that parable, the field perhaps is the Word of God, and the treasure is Jesus Christ. He's there. And you will find him on every page. Every prophet, apostle, whoever God used to bring his word to his people, they spoke of Christ. Some very directly, some more indirectly. But you glean, do you not, when you search the Scriptures, and when you pray for the Lord's blessing upon what you are reading, and then pray after you have read that you would know the blessing, the Lord is pleased to give it. What do we learn concerning Christ? His glorious person, the only begotten Son of God, one with the Father and the Spirit, the Word made flesh, that was prophesied. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the name, Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, government will be upon his shoulder. And so it happened. By the power of the Spirit, the Virgin Mary conceived. God became man. And Jesus Christ dwelt among us. And he lived the life that we're not able to live, because we are sinful. He was and is holy and pure in his human nature. And all his obedience in life and death has purchased salvation for his own. That's the great subject. That's what we delight in. To learn what Christ has done. What he is for us. And what the believer has, what you and I have, is the personal relation. The Christ who came, and the Christ who returned to the Father, all those centuries ago, is the living Christ, now at God's right hand. And we can know him, not simply in a historical way, but in a way where we can say this is very real. This is very wonderful. The Lord himself speaks to me through the Word. And I speak to him in prayer. There's a meeting. There's a fellowship. We are enriched. And we give God our grateful praise and thanks for Jesus Christ, whom we have come to know through the gracious work of the Holy Spirit. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. And we believe that David was finding and discovering continually. Are we like that? Sometimes in our spiritual experience, there can be a difficult period, a trying time. Things become very dim, even dark. The life that we thought we had within does not seem to be there in the way it was. And we limp along. And we're not very exercised in the things of God. And we continue reading the Bible and listening to sermons, but we do not seem to get anything much from them. And we have to say to ourselves immediately, we're aware of such a thing. Well, the word hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. The Spirit has the same power to instruct us as he ever did. We have to look within. And we have to confess to God our lack of faith, our lack of love to Christ. We need a greater liveliness in our soul. And our prayer may have to begin there. O Lord, grant me thy Holy Spirit. Grant me that life and light which I had before. Grant it to me more than I ever had it. May I delight once again in thy word. It is our treasure. You cannot put a value upon the Bible. The only sense we can have regarding that is to try and imagine what it would be not to have a Bible, not to have any access to the Word of God. And it will be utter darkness and hopelessness. But even in our worst times, spiritually, our leanest times, we're not utterly bereft. The Lord is with us still. Faith and love will be revived. And the means of the reviving will be that very book that we hold in our hand. The Spirit to bless it to us once again and to give us that sense of awe and wonder at the things we read of in God's book. Sometimes as Christians we simply have to hold on. We cannot stand still for long. There must be either a going forward, or if not, there will be a going back. But to sit still in the way of meditation, going over the scriptures, and asking for the Lord's blessing upon them until we return to the enjoyment of the Word and the Word speaking to us and running after us, demanding our attention and giving us precious things concerning Christ and his salvation. Finally, to consider enjoying the treasure. Enjoying the treasure. We may say that it is a good habit to read the Bible routinely, daily, and also in order You know how some people simply choose their favorite chapters, read them. That's not the way to have a right understanding, a thoroughgoing understanding of the Bible. There's an order to it and a breadth to it, and our reading of the Bible and preaching should take account of that. It's good to read the Bible even when we do not feel we're getting much from it. We're honouring the Lord. We're honouring the truth that it is His Word and that it is a great part of our love to Christ that we be seeking to learn of Him. To keep up the duty even when it perhaps does not seem to yield very much to us. As we continue in our reading and in our praying, then we will find Christ. We will learn more of Him and the love He has to His people. And we may learn these things in places where we never thought we would learn them. There in the Old Testament, in some prophecy, much of it obscure, full of historical detail that we cannot fathom. But there's something concerning our Lord. There's some type or figure. There's something pointing to the cross of Calvary, to the work of atonement. There's something pointing to what the Lord Jesus does now in glory for His people. How He causes His kingdom to flourish by sending His Spirit. And how He will preserve His people even unto eternal life. And how He will come again with His own, for His own, at the end of time, and judge the world in righteousness. All these things are there, and we long to find and enjoy more concerning them. We spoke of Christ as the treasure, and we think of another parable. One about a merchantman who went seeking goodly pearls, and he found a pearl of great price, and he knew this pearl was the most precious pearl he'd ever come across and would ever come across, and sold all that he had and he bought it. And so he had a financial security. It was a treasure. For Christ is that. Far more important than any worldly wealth. Here are the true riches. Jesus Christ in possession. In our possession, the possession of our soul. By faith in Him. And looking to Him and leaning upon Him, walking with Him in this world, we find in our experience just how precious He is. Have you been to the depths on occasion? Have you been almost in despair concerning some matter in your life or your family or some connection you have, or very personal regarding your own soul? Some believers have such a crisis that they believe that they were never converted, that they're just of the world. They've lost whatever they once thought they had. Well, they haven't lost it. It's there. God in his dealings, his mysterious dealings, has ordained and permitted such an experience, and they will be revived. He will come to them again. They will be blessed, and they will be blessed in this way. The Word, the precious Word of God, God will speak through it. And that one who has gone into that darkness will come into the light of the Word. And Jesus Christ, the light, and that light will shine in that believer's heart in a renewed way, and that believer will indeed have an assurance once again of the grace of God and his salvation. We should never allow ourselves to so drift that we cease to read God's word, cease to pray. It is vital that we draw near to God. It is good for me that I draw near to God, so said the psalmist. Because in coming to the Lord, coming to his word, we're in the place where he will bless. Great spoil and a great tragedy that so many today have no time at all for the Word of God. And we say that with great sadness. It may be so in our own families, near and dear ones, going on in life, nearing the end of life. The Bible is never opened, it's never spoken about, it's never thought about. And they have their treasures. That's how they view them. But they're nothing. They'll do nothing for them in eternity. Only Christ, the Christ whom they might find in the Word, the Christ that we have found, and the Christ we love because of who he is and what he has done. And for God's people, there are things in the Word, the Holy Scriptures, which tell them about their future, which speak to them of the blessedness of the saints in glory. These things are sure. And these things are silver and gold to us. And we hold on to them. We keep them in our possession, in the hand of faith, even when we go through trials. And we're able to say, well, the best is yet to be. The Lord will do this. The Lord will take me home to dwell with himself. And then, and only then, will this great spoil, this treasure, this Bible, these scriptures, be laid aside. Then it will be faith. To face God's word, our treasure, and may we show to the Lord our appreciation of his word and delight in his word more and more as we go on. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we give thee thanks again that we have this great blessing of thine own holy word freely available to us. that we can hold it in our hands. Wilt thou bless it to our hearts? May we get more light from the scriptures. And may we be inclined to obedience, walking in their light and keeping thy word. Bless us each one according to our need, and show forth the wonders of the scriptures to others, that they may come to enjoy this treasure, especially Jesus Christ, the pearl of great price. We ask all in his name. Amen.